scripture reading this morning is found in Romans chapter 8, where we will begin reading at verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. Verses 18 through the end of the chapter. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The words of this chapter that we consider together this morning are found in verses 35, 38, and 39. 35, 38, and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As is usually the case, beloved, at the beginning of a new year, we think and we look ahead to the future. And who of us does not wonder about the future this year? Who of us does not have some measure of anxiety and worry, a measure of uncertainty and fear, because we don't know what's coming? We don't know what we will face. We don't know what we will have to experience in this new year. And perhaps that fear is very real in your life, because you look back at the past year and it was a very difficult one, rough, very trying. Or perhaps your fear with regard to the new year is especially real because the circumstances of your life right now are not the best, not ideal. You carry with you into the new year the troubles of the old year. Well, the purpose, beloved, of our text and the Word of God that we consider this morning is to allay those fears that we might have. As you look at this passage of God's Word, you realize it's one of those texts in Scripture that really speaks for itself. In addressing our uncertainty, in addressing our fear, in addressing our anxiety and worry, the text does it so clearly that even the little children here can understand what the Word of God is saying. It makes one wonder, what more can be said? What more can be said to make it clearer than it is? It's so clear, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ. Who cannot understand that? What more can be added? Therefore, we can really only stammer a few words this morning, say a few things to try to make this Word of God come alive, to make this Word of God hit home, to make it apply. We do that as we consider this text under the theme, Christ's inseparable love. Christ's inseparable love. And these points, a crucial question, a comforting answer, and a personal confession. There is a great truth, beloved, of the Word of God that is stated in our text. And that great truth of the Word of God is this: Christ loves us. When we speak of the love of Christ for us, you realize it's very difficult to do justice to it. Think of His love. Think of how great His love is. Think of how powerful His love is. Think of how permanent and unchanging His love is. What a love. The love of Christ, the Son of God. Think of what that love cost Him. It was a love for us, His people, that cost Him His own life, that cost Him this death, the death of the cross, that cost Him the death that meant the curse of God was on Him, that cost Him the death that meant the wrath of His Father was upon Him. His love so great that He was willing to do that, willing to sacrifice Himself for us, sacrifice His own life, sacrifice Himself in such a way that He took upon Himself and experienced very really the torments of hell in our place. And think of what we have because of the love of Christ. The love of Christ means your deliverance, your salvation. The love of Christ for you, His people, means you're not destined now to the torments of hell, but you're destined rather to the glories of heaven. And His love is this love, a love that is powerful to preserve us in that salvation unto the very end, so that He will certainly, when all is said and done, as regards the history of this world, He will certainly bring us to be with Him in heaven. His love will ensure that. Well, it's a love that never lets us go. And the love of Christ is not merely the love of another person, but the love of Christ for us is the love of Him who is the Son of God. You ever stop to think of that? The Son of God loves me. The Son of God does. The Son of God, who is God Himself. And you have to ask yourself, why me? Why does He love me? I don't deserve that love. I deserve to be hated by Him. And yet He, the holy, infinite, eternal, almighty Son of God, loves me, a sinner. Amazing love. Great love. Almighty love. A love that has accomplished great things for us. We're loved by Christ. What a wonder. And in our text, we ask a crucial question concerning that love of Christ. Who shall separate us from it? And understand the question clearly, beloved, the question is not who will affect my love for Christ. That's not the question. It's true that our love for Christ can be affected in such a way that our love for Christ grows weak and dear. That's not the question. Nor is the question this, who is going to cause me to lose the experience of the love of Christ, the consciousness of His love, the certainty of His love? That can happen too. Even the very things that the Apostle mentions in our text are things that can cause us to wonder about the love of Christ for us. But that's not the question. The question rather is this, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? The question is this, is there anyone or anything able to cut off His love from me, to block His love, to stop the love of the Son of God from reaching me, one of His children, one of the objects of His love, one of those for whom He laid down His life? Is it possible for something to come between me and the love of Christ? Is it possible for someone to have the power, the ability to take Christ's love away from me so that I am no longer loved by Christ, but instead hated by Him? And that's a crucial question. That's a crucial question at the beginning of a new year. And it's a crucial question because we can sometimes wonder about the love of Christ for us. Paul mentions in the text here, as I already indicated, some of the things in life that can cause us to wonder. Certainly we have in the Word of God before us this morning the gospel, the good news from God to us, His people. But you could say that there is some bad news tucked into it. And the bad news is this. You're going to face these things in your life. These things are going to come your way. You're going to face tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and the sword. You're going to face death, and you're going to face the powers of principalities. You're going to face those things. And it's not a matter of perhaps, it's not a matter of maybe, but it's a fact of life. And Paul is therefore not simply speaking theoretically, but he's describing what is reality in the life of the people of God in this world. He's telling us, therefore, about things that will come our way in 2009. And when those things do, isn't it true that this is how we are often tempted to respond to them? To say this, it seems to me that these things take me away from the love of Christ. It seems to me that these things come between me and the love of Christ. His love is gone. When I experience tribulation, when I experience distress, when I am persecuted, when in my life I have peril and nakedness and famine and hunger and financial distress and all the rest, I'm not so sure that Christ still loves me. How we respond. And therefore, from the viewpoint of our own experience, we need to know, will any of these things separate me from the love of Christ? crucial question in the second place, beloved, because there is someone who wants all of those things to separate us from the love of Christ. Notice that no individual is mentioned by name in the words of our text. But Paul is thinking of an individual. He has a certain person in mind when he writes the words of these texts, of this text under the inspiration of the Spirit. And that's obvious from the question itself. He asks, Who can separate us? And he, of course, has in mind our enemy, the devil. The devil who wants to take us away from Christ, our Savior. The devil who wants to take us away from the love of Christ. And the devil who uses all of the experiences of life that come our way, all the distresses and troubles of life that we face to try to accomplish that very thing, to take away from us Christ and His love. And he adds to that, of course, sin, and hopes as he can lead us into ways of sin and evil, terrible transgressions of the law of God, that Christ will say, that's it with those people. They're sinning against me again and again and again. I don't love them anymore, and I won't love them anymore. That's what the devil wants. And therefore it is crucial for us to have an answer to the question, who is able to separate us from the love of Christ? And to have an answer to this question, is the devil able to do it? Is he? We want to know. And then it's a crucial question in the third place, because we're speaking here of the love of Christ, the love of the Son of God, a love that means everything to the child of God. Bad enough, isn't it? You lose the love of a friend on earth, another person. It's bad enough, isn't it, if you lose the love of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if you lose the love of a spouse, if you lose the love of your child, if you lose the love of a parent. That can be an awful thing. Awful if you don't know that they love you. And even more terrible if they say to you, as they sometimes do, I hate you. Terrible. But we're speaking here of the love of Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. And if he were ever to say that to us, it would be awful beyond our ability to bear. What a terrible thing that would be. Because if the Son of God would say that to me, if I were to lose his love, I would lose my salvation. To be loved by him is to be saved by him, and therefore for us to lose the love of Christ, for us to be separated from the love of Christ, would mean we lose our forgiveness, we lose our hope of life in heaven, we lose our confidence that all things work together for our good. We lose our confidence as we face
another year of our earthly pilgrimage, that whatever adversity comes our way comes from the hand of one who loves us. We would lose our ability to face it, for the only conclusion that we could reach with every adversity that would come our way if we are separated from the love of Christ is this: He hates me, and this is evidence of His hatred. That would be terrible. We need the love of Christ. We need it constantly. We cannot face one day without it. And so we have before us a crucial question. The most important question, beloved, that you could ask, and that could be answered at the beginning of a new year. What matters is not this: will the economy improve? What matters is not this: will I have work this year? What matters is not: will I have enough food and drink for my family? What matters is not: will I overcome my present struggles in life? Will I overcome this sickness? Will I overcome my depression? Will I overcome my injuries? Will I overcome the surgery that I have faced or that I must face? That's not the important thing. The important thing is not: will things go well in my family this year so that there will be no disease, no tragic death, no sudden loss of a loved one? Those are not the important things. But the important thing is this: will I have the love of Christ? That's what I want. That's what I need. You do, don't you, beloved? His love is crucial to your existence, is it not? So that you say, I can bear to lose anything and everything else that I have, but there's one thing that I cannot lose and cannot bear to lose, and that's the love of Christ for me. That's the important thing. Well, the Apostle Paul asks the question in order to provide, under the inspiration of the Spirit, a powerful, a moving, and a striking answer. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, in answer to that question, takes the child of God on a guided tour of the universe. And it's a guided tour of the universe in which the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, points out everything that there is in the universe, and everything that there is in the world, and everything that there is in the life and experience of the Christian. He points out specifically the different things that we face, that might make us wonder concerning the love of Christ. And he says, there isn't one thing, people of God, not one thing in the universe, not one thing in your own life that can separate you from the love of Christ? Absolutely nothing. That's the answer. You could compare what the Apostle Paul does here to what a father might do with his child. When he sends the child to bed at night, and the child is afraid. Children have that sometimes, don't you? Scared in the dark of night. Perhaps especially if you're sleeping in a strange house, in a strange room. And so your father comes to you and he takes you by the hand and he leads you through the house and he takes you into every room of the house. And he takes you into the bedroom where you're going to sleep. And with you, he looks in every corner, every drawer, every closet, under the bed, to assure you that there is nothing to be frightened about. There are no monsters. And that's what he says. He says, "See, my son, my daughter, there's no monsters around. There's nothing that's going to get you. There's nothing that's going to hurt you." He points to it all. He shows you it all. And then you can go to bed peacefully, quietly. You can sleep well because you know you're safe. You're safe. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul does with regards to the universe. He takes us on a guided tour through the universe and he directs our attention to everything that there is in the universe. And he says, you ask if there is anything that can separate you from the love of Christ. You wonder if there is something in this world that might do it. Something in the whole universe that might do it. Well, even if it seems that there is, there isn't. Nothing at all can do it. And so the apostle takes us on that tour and he calls upon us to consider every possibility. And he begins with this in verse 35. He says, "Come here, I want you to take a look over here at tribulation and persecution and distress. Let's consider that, first of all. You may face these things. You may be pressed in from all sides because you are a Christian, and you may face that in the year 2009. Your place in this world as the people of God might be a very narrow place. The devil and the ungodly may hate you more than they ever have. And they may take away your freedoms as the people of God. And they may have less and less tolerance for those who confess the name of Christ. And you may even face peril and the sword," as the apostle mentions them in verse 35 as well. "You may even face persecution with the sword that takes away your life. You may be put to death. You may be viewed," as the apostle mentions in verse 36, "as sheep that the ungodly consider can simply be slaughtered, killed off, destroyed." But he said, "Those things will not separate you from the love of Christ. Absolutely not. They may hurt you. They may harm you. They may take away from you all that you have. They may take your body and your light from you, but they won't take away Christ and his love. They won't. Absolutely not. And then he points to nakedness and famine. He says, come look at this now. Consider the next thing that you ought to be assured of as something that will not take you away from the love of Christ. Famine. This could be the year for that. Certainly not looking good at this point, is it? An economy that continues still to struggle across the globe and to struggle in spite of all the attempts of governments to save it. An economy concerning which we could very well see the bottom drop out of it. Things could get much worse. And things could get much worse so that they reach a point where what the text mentions is true for us. Famine and nakedness. And that's all the more a possibility and all the more a reality that we could face because we are Christians. For we know well that when it comes to that time, we're going to be the ones that are first denied these things. What if that happens? What if this is the year in which another great depression hits the world? What if this is the year in which the mark of the beast is put in place and you and I cannot buy or sell? What if this is the year in which you're going to be without work for most of the year? What if you cannot pay your bills? What if you're booted out of your home because you're not making the payments? What if you cannot feed your hungry children? Will these things come between you and the love of Christ? Will they cut off his love? And the answer is absolutely not. None of them. None of them. They won't. And then the apostle says in verse 38, let's move on. Let's take a look at something else there is in this world and in this life. Let's look now at death. Let's consider everything that leads to death. Sickness that you face, surgeries that you face, cancer that could come your way, a heart attack that you might have, a stroke that debilitates. Consider aging, a body that weakens as you get older, constant pain that you face in old age. A day comes when you're confined to a wheelchair or confined to a bed. And then consider death itself. That may be experienced by you in this year. Perhaps God will take away one of your children, take away a parent, take away a beloved husband or a beloved wife. And then there is your own death. You face that as well. That could come very suddenly. Or it might be a slow dying with a lot of pain and suffering. Those are realities of life. But the answer of the Word of God to the question, can death separate me from the love of Christ, is this. Death can never be a means to do that. Yes, death does mean separation. Death means separation from everything that you have in this world and in this life. And death means separation even from your loved ones in this life. But though you lose all those things, there's one thing you will never lose with death, and that's the love of Christ. You'll never lose it. And then he moves on to life. Take a look at life, the apostle says. And when he mentions life, you understand he has in mind especially the troubles of life, because of which life at times does not seem worth living. He's speaking of, and he has in mind, this side of life. That side of life that involves family strife, that involves financial struggles, that side of life that involves a car accident that gives you an injury, that side of life that involves your house burning down and all your possessions gone in a moment. The apostle says, the word of God says to us, life cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Life with all its ups and downs, life with all its good times and bad times, its struggles, its distresses, its burdens, is powerless to cause separation between you and Christ. Not life either. And then he moves on. Look also at angels and principalities and powers. He says, we've talked about this world. We've talked about things that we see, life and death and all that are involved in them. But now let's think about the spiritual world. Let's think about angels, by which he means evil, fallen angels, and principalities and powers. We don't see them, but they exist. What about them? They're powerful, certainly very powerful. Very powerful are the forces of the devil and all his evil hosts to come against the people of God, to assault the Christian, and to lead a believer into sin. But the Word of God says to us, even though Satan may cause you to sin, a sin that you would not now imagine committing, not even that will take you away from the love of Christ. You will sin. We all do. And some of the sins that we commit are terrible offenses against the God who loves us, but Christ will still love you. He will still love you in spite of sin. Then he continues, think of things present. Think of things to come. Think of the here and now. Think of the things that are in your life at this very moment. Think of the things that are happening in the world at this very moment. The economy, the warfare, the political situation, the natural catastrophes that come our way, the terrorist attacks that are always possible. And think of the things to come, the future that you do not know, the future that is filled with surprises, the future that could fill you with fear, and the future that includes all the terrible things that will come upon the people of God near the end of time. And he says, nothing in the present and nothing in the future can stop Christ's love from reaching you, his people. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And think of height and death. Nothing in the heights of heaven, nothing above us, nothing in the great expanse of the universe, and nothing in the depths either. Whether that's in the earth itself, the fire that will burn to destroy this world in the end, or whether that refers to the depths of hell, the devil himself, none of that can separate from the love of Christ either. And then the apostle says, and there's one more thing. Take a look at this. Nor any other creature. Nothing else of everything that God has made, everything that exists. If there's something that's been overlooked, if there's something that hasn't been mentioned, if there's something that hasn't come to mind, in all the things mentioned thus far, this covers it. Every other creature. And you know what that includes, beloved? Any other creature includes yourself. Yourself. Need to know that too. We sin. We're unfaithful to God. We fail to love Him. And He says, not even that separates you from the love of Christ, your Savior. Not even your unfaithfulness and sin. Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. What an amazing truth. You realize, I trust, that this is not meant merely for our information, but is meant for us as God's people to confess. That's what Paul does. What does he say here? Verse 38, he says, I am persuaded. That doesn't mean someone has persuaded me, but it means this. I am convinced of this. I am 100% sure of this. There's not an inkling of doubt in my mind and in my soul. I believe it. And I believe it with all my heart. It's amazing. Amazing when you think of it that the Apostle Paul says that. The Apostle Paul, who speaks from experience. The Apostle Paul, who when it comes to suffering, all the things that we've mentioned here, or that are mentioned here in our text, experience them more than we ever have. He suffered immensely. He was a man in his life who felt the stones of those who hated him pound against his body, causing bruises, stones hitting him in the head. He was a man who in his life was imprisoned and whipped till his back was bleeding. He was a man who in his life lived daily with a thorn in his flesh. And he says, I'm persuaded that none of these things, nor anything else, will separate me from the love of Christ. You and I must say it with him. And you and I are able to say it with him. And able to say it with him, beloved, because this love of Christ from which we cannot be separated is a love that has worked faith in the hearts of the people of God. A faith that embraces the truth of the Word of God. A faith that embraces the truth that the love of Christ is such a love that nothing can take me away from it. And we confess, I believe it. I am persuaded. We are persuaded. We believe. We know it. And we're sure of it. We're sure of it with all our heart that there is nothing that can take us from the love of Christ. And we're sure of it because it's not dependent on us. That's what makes us sure. I don't have to keep myself close to Christ. He keeps me near him. We don't have to ensure on our own that our love or that his love is never taken from us. His love is a love that embraces and embraces and embraces us again and again. Embraces us when we face all these things in life. And embraces us as well when we sin against him. What a love. What a powerful love. What amazing love. What a blessing to be loved of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit has, through the Apostle Paul, shown us the whole universe and explicitly stated that none of it can separate us from that love of Christ. Believe it. Believe it. And may that therefore be your confession in this new year. Even your motto. The truth of the Word of God that you turn to in every trying circumstance of life. This confession, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature will ever take me away from the love of Christ, my Savior, and my Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, we are thankful for thy word. May it comfort our hearts as thy people. May it direct us in our lives. May it strengthen us to put our trust and our confidence in thee, our God, and in thee alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.